One of the first things that jumped out at me in a commentary I looked at this week was this phrase related to the Philippians passage. The church is God's chosen instrument in the world for furthering and accomplishing God's mission. God reached for a tool and grabbed the church. That's good news. That means that what we're about as a people of God is not optional. It means that what we're about has consequence. The church matters. The church is a part of God's strategy, will, purpose for bringing healing, for bringing peace, for proclaiming truth and light to the world. That's the good news. What we are about matters. You know the bad news. The church isn't perfect. The church often fails to live out that mission, fails to further that saving work of Christ in the world. Mohandas Gandhi is reportedly said to an English missionary. Now, the British had colonized India for some 90 years. And Gandhi said to that missionary, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. For your Christians are so unlike your Christ." It's just two decades, maybe three, after Jesus' earthly ministry, and already Paul is convinced the church in Philippi had gone wrong. There was division, there was fighting, there was disharmony within the congregation. And so Paul said, there is a solution to this, and he lifts up the example of Christ. "Model your life after Christ's love," Paul says. "Have the same self-emptying, self-giving, self-sacrificing, humble mind as Christ," Paul says. "Think highly of others, more highly than of yourself. Serve others in all aspects of your life. Let the light of Christ shine forth from you." Do that, Paul is convinced, and the church will be the church accomplishing God's mission in the world. So when people look at you, do they see Christ? When people in the community think of the church, whether in worship or in our work, do they see Christ at work in us and through us? Are we reflecting that pattern of service and humble self-giving love that Christ demonstrated? St. Francis' prayer, "Are we instruments of the Lord's peace? Do we sow pardon and faith and hope?" Paul knows that the Philippian church, in just 20, 30 years after Christ's earthly ministry, has already come into division and bickering and disharmony. So what he does, his strategy, is to point them to Christ. And the way he does it is he sings a song to them. Well, if he texted a message, he would have had the song embedded in the text, and then you hit the button and it goes through YouTube, and there it is, after an advertisement, there it is. But he didn't have that technology, so what he does is he quotes a song that they know, that they sung. He quotes it back to them. It's not a song about the Ten Commandments. It's not a song about the elders or the traditions of the congregation. It's not a song about the greatness of the state's emperor. It's a song about Christ and the kind of life Christ lived. Paul said, "You know the song about Jesus. You sing it well. You just don't dance it. You don't live it." Paul reminds the church that the way to be as a congregation is the way Christ was in the world. Will Willimon was teaching as a chaplain up at Duke University in North Carolina. At Duke, you know, is a Methodist-related school. And Willimon got invited to a faculty social one of those happy hour gatherings, and he was going around listening to the faculty of various departments chat and talk and catch up on their work. And Willimon, known to be a bit of a troublemaker, said he was noticing that nobody was talking at all about matters of importance as far as he was concerned. No one was thinking theologically or talking about faith or the church and the world here at this Methodist institution. So he walked up to a bunch of biology and chemistry and physics professors and said, "Jesus, anyone ever talk about him?" Then he went over to a bunch of mathematicians and philosophers and historians and said, "The church, anyone concerned about the church anymore? Jesus, this is a Methodist school, isn't it? Jesus, is it okay to talk about him? Does he matter anymore?" I am sure no one invited Willimon to any more faculty parties. In a southern church a generation or two ago, someone made a very racist comment. And a woman who was offended and did not agree with that line of thinking, choosing not to start a fight, just instead started to sing, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children." Church already knows the song. Have we forgotten to practice it, to live it, to have it affect all that we do and say? To the bickering, divided, disharmonious Christians in Corinth, Paul said, "Don't forget Jesus. That's what this is all about. He's the pattern. He's the example. He's the role model. We follow his way of being in the world, we're going to be okay. In fact, God will use the church to bring heaven to earth. And the kingdom will break forth right before our eyes." Jesus, you see, was full of God. He had it all, but he didn't hang on to it. He emptied himself. He gave it away. The Christ you and I are called to reflect and share and proclaim with our words and deeds is a Christ of love and humility and compassion. He gave his life, just as we are called to imitate and give ours to the glory of God. The way to greatness, friends, is through service. The way to be first is to put yourself last. The way to be saved is through sacrifice. And the way to God is through love of neighbor. The song Paul lifts up is a Jesus song, and its verses are of humility and sacrifice and compassion and self-giving. That is not a song the world sings any longer. In fact, the world seems to be singing a completely opposite song. Have you noticed? The world sings about power and pride and self-promotion and division and pleasure and riches and violence. My favorite patriotic song has always been, "You're a grand old flag, you're a high-flying flag, and you're home to the free and the brave. You're the emblem of the land I love. Na, 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 na. Every heart beats true for the red, white, and blue, where there's never a boast or a brag." Have we forgotten? Never a boast or a brag in these United States. Oh, how far we've gotten off track from the song of those who have gone before us. The world teaches arrogance. The world teaches boasting and bragging and might makes right. And Christ says, look to the interests of others, encourage one another with love, sacrifice, and do all that you can to live in harmony with each other. It's a different song we're called to sing and follow through with our actions. So it was sometime in mid-August that the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists marched in Charlottesville. And a few days later, in response, the church issued an invitation for all who were interested to gather in the original sanctuary so that we could just gather and pray and sing and share. We lit candles as a reminder of the light of God's love, standing against the pain and separation of hatred and prejudice. Slavery, it is said, white privilege, racism, these are America's original sins, it is said. At that vigil for peace and for justice, where we voiced our hope in Christian light, we took a beautiful tapestry that Caitlin had secured, and she asked us to do something really uncomfortable. She asked us to rip it to shreds, to cut it up. And I heard from some of you who were there that said, I don't like tearing this thing apart. It was a bit against our grain, but we ripped and we shredded and we cut and we tore it asunder. Her point was, the beautiful tapestry and color and diversity of the world which God has made is being torn apart by division and hatred and suspicion and ignorance and violence. Well, we were asked to hang on to those pieces and pray and think about the state of the world. I remind you, that's the world Jesus was born into. He didn't come to a world of peace and justice. He left the glory and the goodness of heaven and entered into a world of division and greed and hate. He came willingly, emptying himself into a world of arrogance and pride and bickering. And he showed a better way and he taught a better way, and it cost him his life. But by the power of God and the miracle of spirit and faith, somehow love triumphed even over that death, and the world could not silence him. For there were lives who said, I will pattern myself after this Jesus, this humble servant, this self-emptying, putting others first, servant and prophet and son of God. I will pattern my life in a way that he continues to live and continues through his church, his body, to witness and work. Who will sing the song of Jesus in a world that sings of greed and violence and hate? Who will follow Christ's example in a world of meanness, bragging, and boasting? Who will glory and honor the name of Christ, the great peacemaker? Caitlin issued a call for those fragments to come back to the church. And so they did. Little by little, they came back from homes and offices and wherever else we could find those shredded fragments. And Kathy Davis, a member of the church, took those fragments and tried to put together a tapestry which said what the church is about in the world. It's about taking that which is broken and reconciling and bringing peace. It's about restoring by the power of God that which was lost. It's about giving hope and unity and pressing on until the kingdom of God, that kingdom of peace, comes to earth as it is in heaven. May God bless the church to be peacemakers, to be invaluable instruments in the hands of the Almighty. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.